This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Our top story this morning, Fort Worth cops are looking for reasons why and how a car veered into the Trinity River over the weekend.
A toddler was killed. His mother is in the hospital.
KRLD's Kurt Lewis reports from the scene of this tragedy.
I'm here by the Beach Street Bridge over the West Fork of the Trinity, just north of I-30. This is where Saturday night a woman's car ended up in the chilly water. Fort Worth police officers found the car and jumped in the river. They were able to pull the driver from the car. Paramedics rushed her to the ER. The woman's sister, Jasmine Robinson, says they first learned about this on Facebook.
Seeing it on social media first, that it was someone that had drove it or went into the water here at Trinity.
Shortly after that, the family was notified by police at their mother's door. Police had been told a toddler had been in the car, but even searching well after dark, they were not able to find him. Returning to this spot yesterday, search boats and divers were put in the water, and just before noon, the little boy's body was sadly recovered. We do not know what caused the car to go into the river. In Fort Worth, Kurt Lewis, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Texas health officials confirmed 30 additional cases of measles. The Department of State Health Services says 309 people have contracted measles since January. The Northwestern School of Medicine's Tina Tan says only two of those 309 people were vaccinated.
It can have some very serious complications that may be permanent, and the best way to protect individuals of all ages is to vaccinate.
Most infections are among kids 17 and younger, but Tan says measles can affect people of any age. About two-thirds of cases have been in Gaines County along the New Mexico border, where a Mennonite community has low vaccination rates.
A more than decade in the making, the National Medal of Honor Museum opens in Arlington officially to the public tomorrow. And that's National Medal of Honor Day. Museum President and CEO Chris Cassidy tells us they'll join a community that has locations across the United States.
Chattanooga, Tennessee has a nice facility. Charleston, South Carolina has some nice facility there too. So we work closely with the Medal of Honor Society, which is the organization of the recipients themselves, to make sure that there's a well-integrated Medal of Honor community.
The museum will display artifacts dating back to World War I.
Yeah, well, if you want to own one of the most expensive condos in all of North Texas, they're now taking deposits.
It's a new condo building under construction in Dallas's Turtle Creek neighborhood, specifically along Dickinson Avenue. About seven stories have been completed, and they hope to have the building done by the end of 2026. The first of the 33 units will be available by summer of next year. The Dallas Morning News reports the prices range anywhere from $3 to $18 million, and if you have that kind of cash, you can start making a deposit now. From the 24-Hour News Center, Eric Bushman, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And also, legendary North Texas broadcaster Bill Mercer, who covered some of the biggest moments in sports history, has died at the age of 99. Mercer was the radio voice of the Cowboys from 1966 to 1971, calling historic games, including the legendary Ice Bowl against Green Bay in 1967.
Bart Starr's all set. 16 seconds left. Starr's in. Touchdown.
He was also a reporter here at KRLD, and he covered the assassination of President Kennedy in Dallas, actually for KRLD-TV a few years back. He told me how he was able to get it to break the news to Lee Harvey Oswald that he had been charged with the murder of the president.
Walking downstairs, hey, Bill, Yeah, in case you need it, we're just now finishing up the charge papers on Boswell. We're charging with the murder of the president. Well, okay. Had I not known that, I wouldn't have been able to tell.
Mercer spent decades mentoring broadcasters at the University of North Texas and was inducted into both the Texas Radio and Sports Halls of Fame. His family says he passed peacefully on Saturday.
Bill Maher confirms he's going to be meeting with President Trump at the White House after years of criticizing Trump on his show. Maher preemptively defends his meeting, saying there's going to be a lot of people on the left who are going to be like, how dare you talk to this man? But he says, I'm not playing this game that you mean girls play. Maher notes that he plans on wearing a suit as a sign of respect for meeting with Trump, in contrast to President Zelensky's casual attire during his recent Oval Office meeting. Maher joins other prominent Trump critics like Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg in meeting with the president after the 2024 election.
The city of Dallas is looking for a new police chief, and the list of candidates is out.
The finalists to replace former Chief Eddie Garcia are Carrollton Police Chief Robert Arredondo, former FBI Assistant Director Brian Botick, DEA Special Agent in Charge Daniel Camo, Interim Dallas Police Chief Michael Igo, and Dallas Police Assistant Chief Katrina Sheed. Finalists will do panel interviews in the next 2 weeks with police officials, business representatives, faith-based groups, police oversight, and community members. The final say will be up to City Manager Kim Tolbert, and that decision is expected by the second week of April. Dallas is the nation's ninth largest police department with a $719 million budget. From the 24-hour news center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Speaking of budget, the Dallas City Council holding a series of meetings this week to get some input on next year's budget.
City leaders say these listening sessions will provide members of the City Council to hear more about people's priorities for the budget. There will be a series of meetings held in locations across the city all this week, starting tonight with sessions at the Johnson Rec Center and the Kleberg Riley Rec Center. There will be more meetings each night through Thursday. The Dallas City Manager will present her proposed budget in August, and the city's new fiscal year starts October 1st. From the 24-hour News Center, Steve Stephen Pickering, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
News Radio 1080 KRLD, the station in DFW for market and business updates. Our KRLD business analyst, David Johnson. Good morning,
good
David.
Good morning, all. Well, we turned things around just a little bit last week. We snapped a four-week losing streak for the S&P and the NASDAQ. Not in spectacular fashion. I mean, the NASDAQ was up 0.2%, the S&P up 0.5%. But the Dow Jones Industrials Average actually, with its gain of almost 500 points, turned in its best performance since late January. So, does the rally have legs? Yeah, it kind of looks like it, because we're hearing a steady stream of rumors coming out of Washington, D.C., that the upcoming planned tariffs are expected to be more, they're using the word, targeted than had frequently been threatened. And maybe sectors like automobiles and microchips are no longer going to be announced on April the 2nd. And that Liberation Day that's coming on April the 2nd with reciprocal tariffs may be muted somewhat. And Wall Street is really responding positively. Right now, the Dow Industrials Average looks up 370 points. The NASDAQ looks up 278. The S&P average up 61. That's really front and center. I mean, that's the big deal that's coming out this week. Later on this week, we'll get more inflation numbers, the so-called PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, that the Fed really watches very closely. We get a few earnings reports beginning to trickle in, but also we're getting to the end of the quarter, and there's a lot of pension fund rebalancing here that usually takes place, and that's a lot of money that's off on the sideline that could be coming back into this market, which means that prices would go higher. Crude's up 42 cents, $68.70. Gold's up $11.30, $3,032.70. Bitcoin's up almost 4% today, up over $3,000 a piece. And interest rates are climbing back 4.30%. Mixed results coming out of Europe, Asia overnight, generally trading higher. Our stock market, right now anyway, looks higher across the board. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Today, the Millsap ISD will decide the fate of three district employees involved in a shocking video showing a teacher and an aide swat a student with autism and throw a toy at him. Parents packed a meeting last week calling for the teachers and superintendent to be fired. Texas Board of Education member Brandon Hall describes the video as horrifying.
We need to make actual changes and a change in culture. where parents are respected. I want to let you know that the eyes of this community are on you and the eyes of Texas are on you.
The board's expected to decide what to do with the three. The superintendent and two women in the classroom were arrested for the incident and face criminal charges.
Nearly a month after Irving was hit by an EF1 tornado, today economic recovery efforts are getting a boost through low-interest disaster loans to help repair damage.
For those still literally picking up the pieces of their lives, it's already been a very long road. Only one person was injured, but the damage was significant. The bulk of the damage was to the Tree Country Apartments, but another apartment and a school were also damaged. Now, damage to that school has led to classes still being displaced as of just last week. Damage includes Irving City Hall and the Irving Family Advocate Building.
We also had several homes damaged in the area, even far south Irving, that had homes with trees that blew down in the roofs and caused significant damage due to the wind.
Last week, the city learned of the U.S. Small Business Administration's low-interest disaster loans that will be available for Dallas County. Homeowners can apply for up to $100,000 for personal property loss and $500,000 for real estate damage. For those renters, it's up to $100,000.
That's NBC5's Larry Collins reporting.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.